Okay, we are recording.
Do you want to do a mic check?
Yep, let's go ahead and go down the line with mic check, Tony.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That's good. Barry, how about a mic check for you?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
All right, that's good enough. Jason, how about you?
There's Sunday and there's Monday. There's Tuesday and there's Wednesday. There's Thursday and there's Friday. And then there's Saturday. Days of the week. Days of the week. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man.
All right. Welcome to Pixel Punishers Podcast, Episode 7. I am Tony Roseland, and across from me, as always, our producer, Mr. Chase Warnick. What is up, man?
Not a whole lot, man.
Dude, I miss that so much. I used to do the podcast, go home, and then catch up on Game of Thrones, and I can't do that now because it's over.
It's over.
That sucks. I could just listen to the theme song all day. Also on the line, north of the border, is from the land of the Hawaiian pizza, Mr. Barry McKenzie.
Hi, guys. Hawaiian pizza is disgusting.
You're right. Yes. I do not like ham.
Fucking fruit does not belong on pizza.
Nothing wrong with ham, man. There's nothing wrong with the hog. It's just when you pair it on a pizza with fruit, that's where the problem is.
Oh, dude. Okay, so also here we got Mr. Jason Rayner down in Phoenix, Arizona. Or where are you, Jason, in Arizona? Tempe?
Close enough. Tempe. Yep.
Tempe, right on. So how's things going in Tempe? We were just there, what, a week ago? Seems like ages.
Yeah, just here, and I just listened to that beautiful SOB Paul's episode and talking about climbing a mountain.
A mountain, yeah, we did. Well, Chase, kind of, I don't know if you
halfway.
Can, you don't know if you counted as
I
climbing.
I pushed that fucking 80-pound scooter up.
Chase pushed a scooter mountain. Up a mountain. I don't know if that counts as climbing.
That counts.
I don't know, it sounds like double the work, so.
Yeah, I'm sweating my balls off when I got there.
So, what's happening this week? Let's start with Chase. What's going on, dude?
This week so far, not a lot. Just doing some fucking post-production for you.
You got a fancy new computer.
I did.
I like it.
You can't have it.
People are quoting this like the fast or the best MacBook Pro or something.
Yeah, I got one of those brand new MacBook Pros with the i9, 8-core, 16-thread.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's a screamer.
Well, I went into Apple to pick one up because I have a job coming up. I need a laptop, and I was thinking I'd just pick up a 6-core, and I'm bouncing on my phone looking at prices and looking at the one they have on the shelf there, and I'm like, the prices aren't fucking matching up. What's going on? And I realized they just released new ones like 3 hours before I was looking, and I'm looking at the brand new one online. They got the one on the shelf that's jacked up price. I'm like, fuck it. I'm buy. So I bought it.
I'm glad you didn't buy the old one and get home and realize that the new ones were out and you would have been pissed.
I bought the new one, but I also was price matching the 6-core version that they have, and I accidentally deleted this one and bought the 6-core, and I had to cancel that order, and I had a whole fucking hoopla with my credit card paying the charge. But I got it.
Yeah, it's rad. How is it working?
Fucking like a breeze.
How's it run in Photoshop? Because the i9 deal or the 9th-gen processor deal, is that problem with Photoshop or what?
Not so far. I mean, I've only used it in Photoshop for maybe like 2 or 3 hours, but, you know, give me a week or two to figure it out, but yeah.
All right. And you got something else coming up this week. You're going out with Jed, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going out with Jed to assist him and be his digital tech for an 8-day shoot bouncing around towns in northern Idaho.
Badass. Jed Conklin, if you don't know, he's a rad like photojournalist, adventure sports photographer, does a lot of really cool stuff. We'll definitely have to get him on the podcast. Yeah. He's dope. Yeah. He was real good friends with the Ross Kellys. And if you are familiar with adventure sports at all, you know that we just lost Mr. Ross Kelly in a terrible avalanche accident. And I know Jed and his family were pretty broken up over that. So we'll get him on the podcast one of these days, and he could talk about all of the life of adventure sports photography and photojournalism. And he's pretty rad. So I think you'll have a good time with him for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Pineapple Pizza Man. What's up, dude? What's going on up there?
Oh, man. Just finally getting recovering from the trip out there and the jet lag and the red eye and all that good stuff. So it's been sort of a relaxed week. I got back middle of the day Wednesday after the Tuesday night red eye and jumped into some retouching last week and sent some invoices and answered some emails. So it's been pretty low key. And then back to the grind this week. I have 3 shoots in Toronto at the end of the week, and I got some retouching that I got to sort out for you. So it's good, man. I don't like flying on the red eye, and I especially don't like flying on the red eye when we go to that public house and I eat a roast beef dip, because the red meat, when it gets inside of me, it gets me a little bit gassy. And then, I mean, I don't like farts at all. Actually, I fucking hate them so bad. I'll hold my breath, man. If there's a fart, I'm holding my breath until I'm going to pass out.
Even your own fart?
Yeah, no, I mean, so I'm not going to, because I have such a hate for farts, I'm going to feel the pain of holding in farts for hours and hours and hours until I get on the jetway, and then I just let them all out. But
dude,
the red meat, man, doesn't help, because it just gets me a little bit gassy. So I was in agony.
But that's when you're just sitting there and you can hear the fart be re-swallowed by your insides.
You can hear it and you can feel it getting sucked back up in the black hole of the abyss.
Well, you could go like Jason and I and just not eat the red meat and then you'll be fine.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I was being strategic, like I would have just got maybe the club, but I wasn't thinking. And we went to that place and I got the roast beef dip. And then as soon as I got to the airport, I knew that it was a bad choice. So...
Hey, do they have public houses up there? That was a new thing for me when I moved to Spokane, was a public house. I didn't know what the hell that was. Do they have that up in Canada?
Yeah, that's just like a fancy name for a restaurant, some like hip shit. So I don't know. Yeah, we have a place called like Pub. There's some public homes, some public houses around.
Do they have them down in Arizona, Jason?
Anything? I can't say I've encountered any.
Yeah, it's basically a pub. I think there's some licensing differences here for our alcohol license and things like that. So you can do like a public house, you can do a bar, you can do a restaurant. I think there's some, that's why they call them public houses. But
is that why they call them pubs?
Pubs, public house. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Pubs is more of an England thing anyway. And like on every corner, like a Starbucks.
Yeah, I think so. But maybe they're all public houses. Maybe that's just short for that. I don't know. I'm sure one of the listeners will know, and they will let us know. So, Jason, awesome to have you on the podcast, man. I'm glad you decided to do it. You and I had a conversation not too long ago about some wireless tethering options and such, and I thought, shit, that's a perfect topic for a podcast. So I'm glad you came on. I put out the call for some Q&A. We had quite a few people respond with questions on that topic. Oh, so we'll definitely be diving into that a little bit later. What else do we want to talk about first? What's going on down there, Jason? What have you guys been up to this week?
Let me wet my whistle here and okay. Now I'm ready for the podcast. Mm-hmm.
We just finished the first round, so you're behind, unless you just finished.
Oh, one, no. So. Yeah. Isn't there a time difference? Do I get anything for that?
Not between you and us.
No.
Maybe you and Barry.
8:30 here. Same as yours.
So, I loved seeing your faces a bit and grabbing drinks and food and hanging out and laughing. Like, it's always a fucking blast when we're all together, and it got me thinking of our DC workshop and how fun that all was. But it was good seeing you guys last weekend, and this week pretty much had some interior design shoots and have been climbing our way out of a post-processing hole and making good headway, getting some fun projects sent out. And you know, and then comes the unpleasant part when you're like Dan and I, like, you know, we're so excited about what we do, like we're so lucky to do this and then shoot awesome photos and we're so excited to send them out that we want to share them right away, and then it's like, oh shit, our client just emailed about last month and said we need to invoice them.
Oh yeah.
So that's the, you know,
the admin
trying
part.
To be better about that.
Yeah, getting paid for the work is always fun. I mean, I like that
right
part.
Yeah,
right. And it's,
just,
you know,
I just
like,
work for exposure.
That's for exposure.
Yeah.
Exposure bucks.
That's how I feed my kids.
Pay the mortgage, all of that.
Yeah.
I thought people just bring you a pepperoni pizza and you just work.
He works for pizza.
Yeah, exposure and pizza, and that's it, man. No problem.
So, Jason, what about the announcement this week from Fuji? Did that get you guys aroused at all, or what?
Oh, boy. A little bit. I mean, yeah, we're pitching tents left and right. For that.
So no, I mean, it's, is that, are you guys going to jump on that thing or what?
I think it's it may or may not be in a shopping cart, and you know, it seems like it addresses, you know, some of the little hiccups from the 50S, and you know, we're probably most excited that it's USB-C, because yeah, you know that we have as much hatred for the USB 3 port as you.
Yeah,
I hate and that. Just how janky it is. So
USB-C is great, man, especially Gen 2. It's even really fast.
Nice.
And so we've been moving up to that. I've been debating on trying to come up with a cable, testing them out. I'd love to brand a cable and sell a very reliable cable, and just that's all it is. That's the company. Just,
that's yeah, you make reliable cables. Make it a bright color and yep, charge a four times markup, and I'm sure there's a business. There's got to be a business.
You would think somebody would have already thought of that, right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, though, is, and this goes on with our topic of the night, is the wireless tethering thing. And somebody was writing saying they have problems of having to use like a booster and all this kind of shit. And, you know, a lot of that is because you're using shitty cables. I saw somebody posted the other day on Twitter and was saying that they got like three shots into a 120 person headshot day, and the computer stopped responding to their tether. And that's, nice. I said, let me guess, you were using a fancy bright colored cable by a particular company. And he goes, okay, so maybe it wasn't Lightroom. And I said, yeah, I got a box of those things that are all faulty. Either they're intermittent or they don't work at all, which is unacceptable. So, mm-hmm, you know, people are paying $50-$60 for these cables and they're failing like crazy. Yeah. And their solution is buy another $50 or $60 cable with a booster on, yep, it. And maybe you'll get a more consistent connection, or you can tell them to go piss off and you can go buy an $8 cable off of Amazon and that doesn't have that issue. And so I want to create the $8 cable. I want to charge $30 for it, which would be half of the other company, but it would be more reliable at least. That's the plan.
Yeah, hit up Star Power and start a, right? Isn't that who? StarTech?
StarTech. Star Power? One of those.
StarTech.
Yeah. What's the one you were shooting for, Barry?
Yeah, that was StarTech.
StarTech, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, those are my jam for the shorty cables, you know, once we get into the devices for Wi-Fi tethering, like you don't need a super expensive 15-foot cable, like, but right. I'm a big proponent of the 90-degree cables for using an L bracket, so the StarTech ones are go-to.
Yeah, but your Fuji uses the 90-degree in the wrong direction, right?
True.
Ooh, maybe they'll fix maybe that the next gen.
Pretty silly.
Yeah, that's
well,
crazy.
It's the, you know, the 100, and I imagine everything after will be USB-C, and then be all good.
Well, they make right angles for USB-C, but I don't think you guys have to worry about it. USB-C is so much better than that janky USB-3 crap, so you'll dig it. It's rad. I haven't had any problems on the computer side or on the camera side. How about you, Barry? Anything?
Oh, it's working great. It's fucking awesome.
What are you using for tether cables? Just cable matters? Cheap ones or what?
I actually just have Amazon Basics cables because I couldn't get the cable matters up here. They didn't have them.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of cable matters. I haven't had any problems. I have them for everything in the studio. Once I got the MacBook Pro and the new iMac, I had to kind of convert everything so I didn't have to use little adapters. Man, I have never had a problem with them, and they're dirt cheap. So...
Hey Jason, we're picking up your ambient sounds there.
Did you just hear Marco? Sorry.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, it's Sunday night, and you know, we're nearing bedtime, so the kids are chilling on the couch with me, and I'm just flicking my trackpad over here, Barry. So
hey, so
did you just diddling the trackpad?
Yeah, just a low key Sunday night.
Hey Jason, on that topic, we got a question on that. Let me see if I can find it. We got so many questions. And,
know it's common knowledge that Jason's a trackpad diddler. People know
that's not what that's not what the question is about, man.
Oh, well, you said it was kind of like, well, we're on the topic of diddling trackpads.
I mean, if other people are calling me a diddler, I mean,
yeah, it was more on the diddler topic, not the trackpad part.
I'm gonna watch my back a little.
Here's
better.
The question, and this is from Aaron Kraft. We all know Aaron, so he says,
yeah,
"What's the secret to doing such killer work and having time to be a rad dad?" I guess any of you could answer that one, because I guess we all are dads and we all work, but you especially. I mean, you are constantly on social media, posting all the time you spend with your kids. And so how are you balancing that? How are you finding time to do them both?
Oh boy. I don't even know if I could tell you, you know, my whole personal Instagram account for anyone that's listening is all, you know, it's all my family and kids stuff. And yeah, I love just bopping around with them. And, I don't know, maybe having grounded out in real estate for so many years got me the efficiency aspect, but, you know, I'm a dad first and foremost. So that's my day, you know, getting up with them every day, getting to school, or on, you know, we're on summer vacation now and we'll, you know, we pretty much get out of the house and play and run around. They're two high energy, extremely smart, hilarious kids. So we like to be bouncing around everywhere and exploring and fucking making memories. And, you know, then we get home in the afternoon and I, you know, I get a couple hours to capitalize on some retouching or some invoicing and email. And then, you know, it's not uncommon for clients to hear back from me at 10 PM. And,
yeah,
you know, I honestly, like, I try to be flexible in everything. So I'm not, you know, I totally get that you can be a firm believer in like business hours and whatnot, but you know, there's times that I can't really delve into emails until everyone has gone to bed and my house is quiet. And that's when I really go to work. So it also helps that I'm a bit of a night owl, I guess.
So are you, does it help to have a partner in the business? Like, you know, having Dan, does he tackle a lot of the stuff during the day while you're tied up with the kids and that kind of stuff?
Or what? That was just an insane oversight by me. I literally wouldn't be anywhere I am without my business partner and best buddy, Dan Ryan. And, yeah, I mean, he's phenomenal. He's 1,000 times better and smarter in business and everything than me. So, he's awesome about getting back to people sooner. It's a super handy thing, I think, because I imagine, you know, photography partnerships or teams aren't super common. You know, I can only think of a handful of us, but, division of labor is key. And I personally, we share one email account. So we both see things as they come in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, usually when we get a new inquiry, it's like, hey, did you see that? Can you field it? I can, when I get home. And, you know, we're in touch throughout the day and just tackling everything. You know, nothing slows down or stops here. So we tackle everything we can together. And there's times that he's swamped with, you know, email and admin stuff that I'm, you know, I try to take some editing off his plate. And there's times that his workload is lighter and he takes stuff off my plate, and we make it work. So
now Dan,
he is the key to my success.
Dan does not have children, right?
Correct. He's a rare, very rambunctious Rottweiler puppy that's okay. Crazy cute.
Gotcha. So he does have that time during the day, and then you're jumping on and you're getting most productive time is after the kids go to bed.
Yeah. So it's honestly, it's so much of it is just divide and conquer. Like we both work on things as we can. We both, you know, value our personal time. Like he makes just incredible landscape work when he can. And, you know, for me, you know, my personal time is the family time. And
yeah.
You know, we make things work, and we're just crazy fortunate to be where we are right now in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, well, you guys have crushed it. I mean, just since I've known you the last couple of years, you guys went from separately banging out real estate to being this combined powerhouse that's throwing down some of the best architecture images, you know, on the planet. So, you know, that's not an exaggeration. You guys are killing it. You know that. I mean, of course, most of it is subject matter. You guys just get lucky with that. So,
yeah, I'm not kidding. That is an exaggeration, but I super appreciate the thought. It's something that comes up with, you know, every new client or even just current people. When we bump into people and talk to them, it's sort of the first thing out of everyone's mouth is, oh, man, you guys are so busy. Are you killing it or whatever? And honestly, like, you know, Dan and I just, we're nerds. Like, we just love we fucking love what we do and we're super lucky to be doing it. And honestly, like, we just put our head down and try to make the best work we can every single time. And, you know, we sort of forget that people notice, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, people follow from all over the place. And, but, you know, it's such a different disconnect with, you know, you get like, you post stuff and get likes and that's all well and good. But when you talk to someone or interact with them on a personal level and they bring up like how they're following along what you're doing or how they enjoy what you do or something, I mean, that really sort of knocks us on our heels.
Yeah, or when you get invited to be on Joe Rogan's sister podcast, The Pixel Punishers, I mean, that's kind of a big deal.
Exactly.
You've made it then, right?
I've made it.
Yeah.
We've made it.
You've
yeah.
arrived.
From the trenches of real estate to Joe Rogan's sister podcast.
I love the branding. That's licensed, right?
Yeah. Well, hell yeah. I've already put in for it. So, nice. Well, you know, since we're talking
I don't know how much that answered, if that answers Aaron's question or if you guys have input there. I mean,
well, my life is totally, I mean, I've got two kids as well. One of them is a newborn. So I didn't, you know, Barry's talking about being jet lagged and stuff. And he definitely had time zones and things to go through. I didn't have to do that. I did come home to a newborn basically. And that's, you know, back to sleep deprivation. So juggling that right now with my wife, because she's so busy with her career. And so I'm the one with the more flexible schedule. So I'm kind of playing Jason Rayner right now where I'm relying on Chase during the day and Barry to do some editing and things like that. And then in the evenings is when I'm crushing all the emails and getting back to everybody and that kind of stuff. The shoots, fortunately, I have family in town here and I can have my mom right now watch the kids while I go on a shoot during the day. But it's such limited time that I'm so productive in those few hours that I don't have the kids. It's amazing how much you can accomplish right. when you're awarded that time, you know?
But again, that just goes back to like, you know, you be flexible and you make it work. Like, you know, especially with young kids, it's such, in the grand scheme of things, it's such a small window of time that like, you know, you make stuff work while you have to, and they get older and more autonomous. And, you know, I forget what Barry years are, like 7 and 10 or something.
Yeah. 8 and 12.
Damn it.
Yeah, he's out of the woods now, and I was out of the woods, and now he teases me because it's like, oh, man, I'm starting over from scratch. Yeah, mm-hmm. So, you know, they hit what? How old's your oldest now, Jason?
He's six. He just finished kindergarten.
Yeah, so that's they're pretty much self-sufficient. I mean, you don't have to watch them 24/7. They can sit on the couch and watch their iPad, and you don't have to worry about them, like, sticking – you know, things and light sockets and stuff like that, where so you can actually function and do, you can respond to emails while they're in the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas when they're younger, you're basically, you can't do that. You can't step away from them, you know?
You're not even hands-free right now. I'm sure where you're at with Soren.
No, it's always in my hands. So, you know, Barry fortunately is in a point where they're both grown and they're at school all day. So he has that time, you know, and, you know, you'll be there and then I'll be after you and we'll all be like 70 years old by then. And
then the teenager age will hit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the next big one. Jesus.
Let us know how that goes, Barry.
Yeah. You scouted we'll out for posted. Us. Yeah. So again, we wanted to have you on to talk about wireless tethering and stuff. You and I started this conversation and you started to answer some of my questions, Jason. And then I was like, you know what? Save it. Don't answer that. Let's wait till we have the podcast. And there's a ton of options out there now. And there's more coming down the pipe all the time. And wireless protocols have gotten better. And so, and people want more images. And so you got to be quicker on the move. So tethering to a laptop on a stand, et cetera, can slow you down. And all of these different factors that come into wanting the need to do wireless tethering. So first of all, tell us about the gear that you and Dan are using, and then what solution you're currently using to tether, or if you're tethering, and then we'll just kind of expand from there.
Okay. Yes. So it varies a bit, but we have the Fuji GFX 50S and an adapter, and we're using all the Canon tilt shift lenses on that. We also shoot with a Canon 5DSR and all the, of course, Canon tilt shifts for all our architecture needs for that. And it varies. It honestly varies a bit by job. There's some jobs that where we're shooting for an interior designer with them over our shoulder, and they want to see like a nearly final image as we shoot it. And that's when we're, you know, we're hardwired tethering into Capture One, where we can adjust things and show, you know, a better idea of a finished file. And then there's times, you know, shooting architecture maybe, or larger developments where we need to sort of be lighter on our feet. And that makes dragging around a cabled laptop on a stand sort of a pain in the butt. So then, we're doing, iPad Pros with either the Fuji built-in Wi-Fi and tethering app, or the Cam Ranger for that Canon.
So why not the Canon built-in Wi-Fi tethering app? You guys don't like that one?
I do use that on my 5D4, but my beef with the manufacturer apps, and I mean the built-in Wi-Fi, there's probably so little room when building a camera for that sort of hardware that I've never gotten great range out of that. You know, it's like you walk, you know, if you're doing a commercial space or something, you walk across a cafeteria or part of an office, and you know, the drops connection or freezes or lags, whatever. And I'm just not fond of the sort of bare bonesness of the manufacturer apps. And, you know, it's massage your exposure triangle and you get playback, and maybe that's sort of it. So, I was just not fond of the Canon app, and it honestly seems like such an afterthought from those manufacturers when it's time to make an app. It's sort of like, what's the bare minimum we need to have wireless, you know, tethering on this setup. So we've had Cam Ranger devices for years. I feel like that's how this all started, Tony, when you and I were talking. We're sort of complaining that we're waiting for the Cam Ranger 2. And, you know, we've had great experience over the years with the original Cam Ranger. I've never been unhappy with the range of it, and I like all the control when using the app. And obviously the drawback for us is that the Fuji system is not supported on that, and we've just been waiting patiently and patiently for this like Cam Ranger 2 to come out. But it's been being teased for like 8 months, and we're just sort of dying to ditch the tether cable and laptop and, you know, be free of wires.
Gotcha. So that you can't use it with the Cam Ranger original, which is why you're using a Fuji tether app.
Right.
So how's that? What's the range like on that? Does it suck as well?
I guess we haven't run into issues with the range on the Fuji, but it's the whole setup of the app. It's sort of, you know, we'll like set the camera down and compose and everything on the camera, and then once you switch over to Wi-Fi tethering, it's either or. So you lose control of the camera when you're Wi-Fi tethered, whereas with a third-party device, you can usually do both. When you're, you know, if you're standing right at the camera with your iPad, you can only manipulate it one way.
Gotcha.
So they updated it recently, and it's definitely better than it was, you know, a couple months ago if you played with it when you were here a little, you know, before, but it's still just not as robust. It's just like anything, man. Like, you know, you guys talk about camera systems all the time on here, and it's like there is shortcomings no matter where you turn. So it's sort of, for us, it's finding like what resonates with us, what is, you know, and over what shortcomings can be overlooked or worked around, and, you know, keep us happy. So,
well, you mentioned tethering into Capture One. Now they have the Capture Pilot app, which you can run on the iPad Pro, and then you can have full control over your cameras with that. I assume that works with Fuji and Canon. And I guess,
but you have, that's if you're shooting, that's if you're already shooting into Capture One,
right? So you got to have your camera tethered into a laptop running Capture One, and then you can basically control that from the iPad.
Right. And that just seems like even farther away from where we want to be, you know?
So you guys just want to be camera, some kind of dongle, and then into an iPad.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, the, the freedom it allows for, you know, for sort of anal perfectionists like us, when you have to tweak furniture and staging and really get in the frame to get things lining up or not lining up how you want them. I mean, wireless is sort of indispensable without having to take 50 test shots over and over.
That's funny. See, I use an assist. So Chase is there, or Perry is there, whoever. And I'm looking through the camera and directing somebody to move the furniture while I'm taking their shots. It seems like with the two of you working together, you would do something similar where one of you is manning the camera, the other is out moving furniture. That doesn't work for you, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we can do it. And, you know, there's plenty of times we do, like when we're hardwired into C1, but you know, barking at someone across a living space or an office space to, no, scoot the chair 2 inches counterclock, you know.
Fair enough.
It's sort of a buzzkill. And it also, like, is that the best use of our time when, you know, one person could be tweaking furniture or whatever with an iPad and the other could be setting lighting or gelling, whatever have you, or even just connecting with the client, like maintaining that, you know, like you get on shoots with a creative team and like everyone's just sort of staring at their phones.
Well, that's a cool thing about Capture Pilot 2 is you can set up so other people can connect to that and see it at the same time. So if you have like an art director or a architect or somebody, they can be off in another room and they can see the images as they come in.
They could be in another state and you could broadcast that online.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I've actually used that before and it was kind of handy. So if you're doing shoots, you know, and the architect can't even be there, they can be at their office and actually see the images come up online while you're shooting them, which is kind of cool. They can rate them and do all kinds of things. So it'd be nice if they could come up with one that you didn't have to run through a laptop and stuff. That same functionality would be pretty cool. For me, it doesn't matter because I'm going to be tethered anyway to a laptop, but I understand where you guys are trying to go with this. So you sound like you like the Cam Ranger. You're waiting for the Cam Ranger 2, which from what I understand has been in the works basically forever.
Still says coming later this year on their website.
Is that the case?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair assessment. I mean, there's pros and cons to everything, but you know, it's just sort of, yeah. And you know how you work and how we work is pretty damn different. So
I think we
put a pretty high value on being nimble and, you know, not dragging around a 15-foot brightly colored cable and on very expensive laptop on a tripod is handy.
Well, what about other options besides the Cam Ranger? Barry, jump in here, man. I feel like I'm having a conversation with Jason, but like I know that Tether Tools makes like the Case Air. There's the Cam Ranger Mini. There's another one I saw a guy using the other day, some other kind of wireless triggering system that does like interval shots and all kinds of things. I mean, are there other options out there that are viable, or does everything else just pale in comparation to the Cam Ranger?
Are you talking to me right now?
Either one of you. I've never used these things. This isn't my area of expertise, so I'm just asking either of you if you've what other options
you've
tried.
I'm playing Candy Crush over here, so I don't use any wireless tethering stuff other than recently with the Wi-Fi setup on the EOS R. I've used just the EOS utility to tether wirelessly and to my laptop, and I can scoot around with that. But
so why not wired to the laptop? Why wirelessly?
To be honest, the reason I use it in Wi-Fi mode was because I didn't have a tether cable at that point in time. But
how did it work though? Was it fast enough? Or did you see a problem with it?
No, it was fine, man. There was, as I got further away from the camera, there was some latency, but I was able to, like Jason said, be in the room propping, you know, right in the frame, propping stuff, moving stuff around. And I just, I have the DigiPlate light, but I keep it on a light stand instead of having it right on the tripod. So I've just brought the stand with me and I was able to do that. But it's kind of weird how Cam Ranger is so popular and it's been around for so long. And I can tell you that their booth at PPE this year in New York was like It was like a towel, like a black towel, and then like a like a dot matrix printout that said like Cam Ranger, and it was like, it was the sorriest looking booth you've ever seen, and it's like all they have is, I mean, they flashed a TP-Link router, and like that's the extent other than the software, which is what Jason right, and others love about it. But it's it seems like it's time to make your own hardware so that it is more reliable. I mean, not that the current one is unreliable, but. Like, what are they? What are those guys doing? What are they doing over there?
I mean, maybe they only had a towel at that conference because, I mean, I don't know if they've been on vacation for the last. How long has the Cam Ranger 1 been out? Like,
a decade? Maybe
everyone's just been on been on vacation for the last 3 years, and it's all right. We'll get back to it.
Well, Jason, what? So aside from not being compatible with Fuji, what is the deficiency with the original Cam Ranger that you would want to see upgraded in a new version?
Oh, that is a.
I mean, I would have to imagine like the wireless technology is vastly improved.
Yeah, but if he's not, if he doesn't have a problem with it now, then I mean, if it's not slow, if it's not dropping connections, so if it if it wasn't for the Fuji, what would you? What would be your complaint with the original Cam Ranger? Maybe that's why they haven't done anything yet.
No, I mean, of course, like, it's more range would always be handy. A smaller form factor with better battery life. Somehow, even though those probably play against each other, you know, I one thing I do like about the in-camera Wi-Fi on the 5D4 and on the Fuji is like not having something hanging off the damn camera. That's you know, it just drives me a little bonkers. Like having this thing just sort of swinging on my well, you know, I have a I usually have a pouch hanging off my tripod leg for like a filter.
Rainer sack.
See, there you go.
We call it the scrotum sack or the rain, the Rainer sack is what we call it here.
I gotta throw a registered trademark on that.
Yeah, Rainer sack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw it being used at the workshop. What's his name? Alan was using one.
Yeah, Alan had one, and I think even Eric, who got us the house down there at the workshop, I think he uses a Cam Ranger as well, right? Yeah,
but I mean, Alan was. Looking at it, popping around, popping flash. He was moving pretty quick with it.
The meter maid with his meter pistol maid, gun. Yeah. I mean, I've never used one. And the main reason is because, I went to, when I first discovered them, I had one for like a week. And then I went from the camera system I was using into phase one and they're not compatible. So I dumped it and I never went back to it because I've always been shooting into the laptop. I've tried the Canon Connect app, which seemed pretty good, but again, I didn't test it like you guys do where I'm walking across whole houses and things like that for range. Maybe that's where it starts to fall short, but functionality wise, it seemed pretty good. Are you guys using these things with live view quite a bit or are you taking a shot and just studying the shot or what's the deal? Like how does this talk to the audience that doesn't know what these things do really? Cause maybe there's people out there that are like, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. So it's a third-party device that you plug into the USB port of your camera and turn it on. It creates its own Wi-Fi network and it pairs to its own software and lets you control the camera wirelessly, enjoy the benefits of live view and, you know, punch in focus and grid overlays and changing camera settings, sort of, you know, pretty much everything you need. So,
now, do you use this for brackets? Do you set up like an auto exposure bracket when you need to grab your base exposures as well? And does it do that stuff too?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's the same as using the screen on the camera or the dials on the camera for what you can manipulate. And that's a shortcoming of a lot of the manufacturer software is that it's you can only sort of change the settings of your triangle and you can expose and play back, and that's sort of it.
So one of the questions we had, Jason and or Barry, whoever wants to answer this, is how to remote trigger Canon with Pro Photo head on hot shoe. What are the options? I think they mean like you have a Canon camera, you've got your Pro Photo trigger in the hot shoe to trigger your Pro Photo lights. So how do you? What are your options to remote trigger the camera then? Would the Cam Ranger do that?
Cam Ranger would do that, or just a simple remote just plugged into the remote port on the side.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'd be one of, you know, Barry's little go-to Yongno remote that's probably older than his kids or something.
Yeah. It is, actually.
So, I mean, maybe I'm reading it wrong. This is what exactly what it says. How to remote trigger Canon with Pro Photo head on hot shoe. What are the options?
Yeah, yeah, I mean it'd sorry, go ahead, Jay.
It'd be exactly what we said. It'd be a Wi-Fi device or Wi-Fi from the camera, or it'd be, I mean, you could, if you wanted to throw your money in the trash, you could buy a couple more Pro Photo triggers to, you know, their basic AirSync triggers to fire, to plug into the remote port and fire the camera, or you could spend like $6 on Amazon and buy a little set of Yongno or any whatever trigger. Sort of third party triggers.
So somebody else said, voicing my desire support for that damn Cam Ranger 2, user influence to help make it happen ASAP. So it sounds like you're not alone in wanting the Cam Ranger 2, I assume for the same reasons, you know, additional camera compatibility as well as, you know, additional range, et cetera. Have they kept up? Does it matter what version of Canon camera you're using? Like, would it work with the EOS R? Does it matter? Do they have to update firmwares for it to work with the new cameras, or does it just work with basically anything Canon, anything Nikon, et cetera?
I imagine they probably have to update to do firmware updates to ensure compatibility. But, yeah, I mean, whoever submitted that question is right. You know, you're Tony, you're the guy with the poll, so get us that Mark II.
Yeah, let me jump on the horn with Cam Rangers, a product I've never even used.
I'll angry tweet them.
Yeah. So let's see what else. We might as well roll through more questions. Barry, you got anything for Jason while I look through the questions?
I always have something for Jason, but I miss seeing your face, Jason. I just want to tell you how much God,
I miss you guys already.
Well, I'm gonna go get a beer here while we're taking this break.
Are we on a break again?
I don't know. I think we earned the right last week. Barry just started calling breaks when he needed a beer, so that's break. What I'm doing. Break. I'm going to go get one. You guys just chat amongst yourselves. I'll be back momentarily.
Yeah, when you come back, you have to read the beer summary, because that was like, I mean, Barry, that was the best part of your commercial break, was hearing the sultry sounds of your beer commercial.
Yeah, about the atomizer.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's tasty. Paul is well connected. He's got a friggin' wine spout in his bar, and his wife brings him free beer, and I just get the red meat farts. That's all I get.
I see that in your near future of t-shirt designs.
Meat farts, yeah.
Meat scrim to red meat farts.
Meat scrim to red meat farts.
Do you ever miss? I mean, for those that don't know, Jason is a vegan. He actually happens to have a ginormous vegan tattoo on his body, so he can't ever go back to eating the flesh of animals. But when did you stop eating the meat, Jason?
When I was a teenager. You know, my standard answer when people ask is that I've been vegan longer than I haven't.
It's a solid, man. You're in it for life, man. It's amazing the willpower you have, because I have not the same amount of willpower as you.
Some of the alarm was going off.
Yeah, pasta's done. Whatever. Whatever's alarm done? That was.
I got bedtime over here, guys. Bedtime. I'm going to take a bedtime break and grab myself a beer, but I'm still listening.
All right. So I did come back with my beer. It's from Big Sky Brewing Company over in Missoula, Montana. This one is called Loaded for Bear. It is their, no, it's Summer Honey. That's what it's called. Why does it say Loaded for Bear on the back?
That's the brand.
All right. So it's their Summer Honey seasonal ale.
Does it taste like honey?
No, it just tastes like beer.
Beer?
Yeah, it's just kind of a light beer. Their Moose Drool, which is sounds disgusting, Moose Drool. But their Moose Drool beer is really good. It's a brown beer. Yeah. You've probably had that up here, Barry.
I've had it. It's tasty.
It's a good one. So anything by Big Sky is usually pretty good.
I'm not joining in the beer tonight because I decided to get my fat ass back at the gym, and I went after dinner tonight and rode the bike, and I feel like I just can't. I work too hard for those calories to go away that I just can't. I couldn't bring myself to drink a beer, so I'm having coffee and water tonight.
This is ridiculous.
I'm having a little quinoa.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I probably shouldn't have told you guys. I wasn't going to come out with it publicly because Coffee and water is sort of like,
don't worry, we can edit really, that out.
It's not an authorized refreshment for this program, so
we'll definitely be editing that part out.
Drop a little Irish whiskey in there and it will be.
Yeah, I ran today for the first time in a long time since Soren was born, actually. And it almost killed me. I ran a 5K, and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I swear my left arm was going numb at one point. I thought it was going to kill me. So I'm very out of shape, and I leave in 3 days for a 105-mile bike ride through Kansas in the rolling gravel hills of Emporia for the Dirty Kansas. It's probably going to kill me. I might not come back.
That sounds like
Jim insurance.
Horrible time.
I do have it. I have actually really good life insurance. So
yeah, pump up your life insurance. Pump up your medical insurance this week before you go,
dude. It's gonna kill me. I didn't realize how I knew I was out of shape, but I didn't realize how out of shape I was until I went on that run today, and I was like, oh man, this is bad. I'm so fat right now. I can't even wear my normal summer shorts. They don't fit. They're so tight. It's ridiculous.
You know what you should do before you head out to KC. Maybe you could box up the B1s and put my address on it and just leave that at the front door and then Chase can ship them out if you don't make it.
Yeah, they're not going to make it.
I can tell you right now, Chase isn't going to let them out of the studio.
No, sorry, man. Those are staying.
Yeah. How's that tripod working out for you?
It's good, man. I ordered the head yesterday. So
what'd you get?
I got the D4, the lovely D4.
The Arca Swiss.
I was going to get I got the Arca Swiss D4. I was going to go for the Model Ball Fix. And put the really right stuff quick release plate on it with the L bracket, but I decided to just go for the straight up Arca classic knob.
Oh yeah,
because apparently they glue the damn thing on with like Loctite Red or JB Weld or some shit, and people have tried to take that head off or that Model Ball Fix plate, and it fucked the thing up. So I don't want to risk breaking a super expensive tripod head to try to get that thing off. And also it's not NAFTA qualified, so I got to pay tax and fucking duty on it, which is a joke. So the thing is going to run me almost $2,000.
Holy shit. Jesus. Dude, yeah.
It sat in my car for a week, dude. And it took, I don't even know if they've shipped it out yet. I might even cancel it. It makes me feel sick.
Oh man, that's crazy. You could have smuggled a cube up your ass back across the border.
Oh, here we go. Yeah,
and you'd have been more comfortable.
You would have hurt less than $2,000 for a D4. Holy crap. So what did you get, the geared version at least, I hope, right?
Yeah, I got okay. Just the it's 11. It was 1141 US, and then the really right stuff plate or the L bracket was, I think, 140. So, and then there was like $200 and some odd worth of tax, and then there was $150 worth of duty, and then of course tack on 35% for exchange, and it's right around $2,000 for
good
that head.
God, here's what I want to see is a really right stuff geared head. That's what I want to see.
They only make the two, the BH55 and the 410.
No, they make the 55, the 45, the 35, the 25. They make a bunch. It just goes on down in size, but they're all ball heads. And then they have a video head, too. But, dude, if they made a geared head.
You're getting on the D4 train.
Oh, did you hear how much the D4 train is costing me, the ticket to the D4 train?
Oh, yeah, I've been listening. I had to sing some Twinkle Twinkle, but I'm back.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't broadcast that for us? That would have been nice.
I don't want to put people through that. I had a hard enough time staying awake through Barry's live when he was smashed on wine. So I didn't want to put other people to sleep.
Maybe later you can just
when my live ended, the first portion of my live, you, and then you saw it pop back up. You sort of aroused from your slumber and then started to watch again.
Yep.
Yeah. I had my numbers wrong. 55, 40, 30, and 25.
Is pretty good. It's a nice.
It's tiny little head, man. Yeah. So, and then I think they have some for cell phones too. But the quality is so good on their tripods and their heads that people ask all the time, like, should I go get to a Really Right Stuff? Well, I'm a huge fan of Really Right Stuff. I like the fit and finish better. The only downside to Really Right Stuff tripods is they don't have one as tall as Gitzo. So that's why I have the Gitzo and RRS. But if RRS made a geared head, I would fly out there to be the first one to get it in my hands. I love their product so much. So
I like the Gitzo better. I like how Gitzo tripods look like they were all found in a World War One trench.
They look like they were made from tank parts.
Yeah, totally. They're covered in grease and they smell like a World War One trench.
Yeah.
And then the really right stuff are all nice and smooth, rounded edges, and all refined and fancy.
Love it. The D4, did you figure out what the D4M is?
It's manual.
That's the manual. It's not a geared one. I think it's just regular. Like, I could be wrong. I think it's not geared, though.
Interesting.
No, you're right. It's just an expensive three-way head.
Hmm. I see. How is that different from a geared head? Aren't all three-way heads geared heads? Like your 410s, mm-hmm. aren't they geared?
The 410 and 405 are geared, but I'm talking about like the three-handled head that you loosen, you loosen a handle and the whole thing flops down. That's the D4M is manual, so it's you loosen one of those and it's just totally free play. There's no gearing.
Gotcha. Okay.
But instead of having like a big handle you can grip, you just got to use little finger knobs.
Right. You just got to diddle
like
it.
A bad design.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess there's a place for it. I mean, obviously not architecture. But when I see people using, dude, do you remember the workshop with that guy with the pistol head he was using? Holy shit.
Yeah, it looks like a bird. It's all janky and it's all like, you can't do anything with it. It's insane.
Oh man, look at that. Manfrotto owns everything now. Lowepro, Joby, Gitzo, Lastolite, Avenger, Syrup.
National Geographic.
Nat Geo? That must be a thing. But Syrup, is that all just through a distributor? Maybe that's the distributor that's distributing all these products.
This is Manfrotto's site, manfrotto.us.
That's crazy. Okay, so back to the wireless thing, Jason. The CamRanger, have you tried any of the other products that are out there? Or is it just CamRanger and that's it?
I haven't. I mean, I've never had reason to. I've only ever used the camera built-in stuff, and then the CamRanger has been, serving me well for a long time, so there's never any reason to try. I know, like, the Case Air is out there and a couple other devices, but I haven't needed to try them, I guess. I was doing what – I forget if you turned me on to it or if I turned you on to it. I was doing what Barry is doing for a while when I first got the Mark IV, was doing the in-camera Wi-Fi to the Canon software on the laptop and then just setting up like a watched folder in Bridge or Lightroom since you can't review for some ungodly reason on their software.
Right.
So I was doing that for a while and just burning through camera batteries. But yeah, to answer the question, I haven't used any of the other third party devices.
Have you looked to see if there's one that works with the Fuji?
The Cascable is, I think that's what it was, but just doesn't seem as robust. So we sort of didn't revisit it.
Interesting.
You'd think there would be some nerds out there that could flash that CamRanger 2 to work for Fuji, but I guess maybe because Fuji is such a niche brand, that's not so mainstream that there's a limited nerd power out there.
Yeah, it's there's very few people that have it. It's way more expensive than most of the Canons and Nikons. And it requires a whole different lens set, et cetera. I mean, I guess you get to get the adapter or whatnot now, but I think.
Yeah, and I know that Cambo adapter we had left a bad taste in your mouth, but that was the first EF to GFX adapter that was out there that gave aperture control. So
that was a piece of shit.
We had that from day one, but switched over now to a nice new one that relays the XF data and whatnot. And it's like, it's a tiny, it's not that big ass thing hanging off the front of the camera anymore. Just so I can get out there and defend our
but
shit.
Look at me, man. I come down there and you guys are raving about this thing. We set it up and Dan's like, okay, yeah, man, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Okay, I can't plug the USB cable into it. Oh, yeah, it goes the other way. It's a right angle cable that's going straight up into the fucking air. Okay, so then it's like, what aperture am I at? None of the displays show anything. Oh, yeah, that's the adapter that we're using to use the EF lenses. Okay, well, how do I use this? Well, you have to turn it on first, and then there's a little tiny display wedged in between the body and the adapter that you have to see to figure out what f-stop you're at. You can't control any of the settings from the software, and then the battery goes dead, and he's got to take off the fucking L-bracket to get to the battery because it's in the way. I mean, it was like, oh, my God, there's no fucking way that I'm buying this thing and using this. So it sounds
first generation of a camera, though, man.
Yeah, I mean.
And shit, isn't this coming from a tech cam that you had a sleep-wake cable Hold on. I gotta wake up the digital back.
Oh, believe me, and that's why I'm not using it anymore.
Then I gotta do an LCC. Like,
oh, it was a mess, that's why I'm not using it.
When we're happy with the image quality and everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, I get that part, but it wasn't enough to make me want to change and go back to that life. You know, I got out of that with the medium format and the tech camera and all that shit, and it was like, oh, I'm not going back into this crap. All these compromises that slow you down, that's the whole reason I went back to like Canon and stuff in the first place, just to get out of the compromises. So hopefully this new 100 megapixel beast solves a lot of that stuff, right? I mean,
it's, you know, they have like the whole battery tray that should solve it, and USB-C, USB charging.
Can you get a grip for your camera from the Fuji?
I'm not fond of the vertical grip, so I honestly haven't looked into it.
But I'm wondering if that would solve the problem battery issue, you know? Anyway, whatever.
But listen, I know it comes up on, your guys are like reading reviews of the bad reviews of the EOS R last week. And like, I just laugh because, you know, I'm not here. I mean, no one should be here to change anyone's mind. Like, there's so many cameras out there and they all take half decent pictures, and like people that are into what they're into are not going to change their minds. And I crack up when people are ragging on each other's camera systems. Like, yeah, I don't like the Nikon and Sony stuff, but like if that's what someone else is shooting, degaff.
Well, I mean,
Fuji is pretty crazy though. There's some craziness. Like, it has like 6.5 stops of in-body stabilization, and then has like built-in fucking skin smoothing and stuff. Like, it's insane. It's impressive on paper. I mean, I can't wait for you guys to get your hands on it to see what it can actually do. Nothing you're going to use that stuff.
I'm honestly like really intrigued by the 14-bit and 16-bit capture. I feel like cameras have been at 12, you know, the 35 millimeter full frame cameras have been at 12-bit for so long, or maybe some are 14, but it's shit like the Pentax that no one uses. So
yeah. Who the fuck's buying a Pentax? Yeah, no, the 12-bit, but you know, that was a nice thing with the phase and stuff, is all 16-bit color.
But I'm with Barry on like defending the old 5D2 stuff. Like, if someone could go on my Instagram or website and tell me what was made with the 5D, the original 5D, what was made with the Mark III with like, you know, terrible shadow noise and stuff, you know, like, I like to think at least that I make some pretty okay work, and that it just doesn't come down to the camera at the end of the day.
Sure, we know that. Like, we're just talking about ease of use and feature set and things. And I don't have a problem using another camera. I'd switch to I was genuinely interested in the Fuji because I've heard such good things about it, but you can read specs until you get your hands on it and feel what that workflow is like. You just don't know. And that's why I wanted you guys to bring it out when we were down there that time, to actually get my hands on it and see, okay, what is this actually like to use? And those couple things were like, nope, not fucking doing it. No way. Absolutely not. You know,
but if it was epic, you get your hands on things though.
Yeah, I know you do.
You know, we're going to get the new one, and I'm going to have you come back down. I'm going to get your hands all over do whatever.
Yeah, I'm game. Maybe you could sing. Maybe you could.
I'll make it clap.
That's great. So, let me figure out the rest of these questions here, because the other people had them, and I want to make sure we get them answered. We're starting to run long on time here. Let's see.
Yeah, what is it? Just was it the topic or gaining listenership? I mean, how are we getting a lot of questions? This is going to be a good one.
What are we talking about? I'm lost.
I don't know. How are we ranking? How am I doing?
We're top.
I don't know, man. We have to wait and see.
This isn't live.
It's going to be green arrows for sure.
We should do this live.
Green arrows? What's a green arrow?
That means when you're climbing the podcast charts, because as Joe Rogan's sister podcast, we have nothing but green arrows. We're not going down.
I love that Joe Rogan's sister podcast thing. It was amazing. Maybe I'll get back to him.
You just came up with that off the top. That was
That was a good one. I was a few more beers in last week than I am this week. And whenever you got the Gentle Giant around, for some reason, he just you drink more when you're around him because he's so fucking big. He can drink so much that you don't realize how many you've had. All of a sudden, you're six beers deep and an hour into the podcast, you know?
We went out after the podcast, Paul and I. You had to go home because you were on baby duty the next day. But we went out and had some beers at the Monterey, which is just around the corner from the studio. And they had this fantastic beer. I can't remember what it's called now, but it wasn't even called beer. It was called a cold snack.
That's amazing. I saw it on
and
your
I think
IG.
It was a dollar for a tall boy. So we had like six of those, and we spent $6 on all those beers. And then we went to, is it the Park Inn?
Yeah,
is that
the PI, it's called. Yeah. That's the South Hill Dive Bar. Yep.
And they serve popcorn in like a French fry container, and you can get as much as you want. They have a golden tea machine there. And we drank High Life when we were there.
Yeah, so if anybody comes to Spokane, we'll take you to these spots, and you can enjoy
Monterey and PI, those are the places to go.
Jason, you got to get up here, man. You've never been up here.
No, I need to get up there too. But Barry, I don't know if you know this, but that's how Dan and I refer to you in our daily conversation. Is have you talked to that cold snack today?
Cold snack.
That's Dan amazing. Dan and I have a good relationship where we have a nice high five, but when we were at the workshop at the rap party, someone had mentioned, and apparently this goes, most people learn this in grade 3 or 4. I didn't learn it until this year or last week when I'm 40. Mm-hmm. But if you stare at someone's elbow as you give them a high five, apparently it's like the best high five ever. So one of the attendees, Drew, and I aimed my eyeballs right at his elbow, and then we high fived, and it was better than any
high five. It practically broke the sound barrier. I heard like cracks and booms.
It almost broke the internet. We weren't even on the internet, but the internet almost broke.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's orgasmic.
It was awesome. Okay. I feel bad because I feel like Dan and I have a thing, and I feel like we got to go back to the drawing board because our relationship is a little tarnished at this moment.
Listen, Maverick and Goose, you will always have that. You'll be able to high-five each other. What the hell is that?
The customer photos from the Fuji GF X50S.
Yeah, go on to is this B&H? Go to B&H, look up the new Fuji, or is this the one that they have?
This is the GFX 50S.
The GFX 50S, and look at customer photos. Boy, there's some sweet ones in there. Good
click
God.
Click on photos and click on customer photos.
These people are spending $6,000 on a camera body, and that's the images they're producing.
Tony, come in. From a phase, like, you should know that the people buying that shit is, you know, doctors and retired dentists that are like, oh, that's, I need nice. A new fucking toy, and just drop $30,000 on a camera.
Yeah, crazy.
It's like when Leica made that one rangefinder that only shot in black and white. Who the fuck is buying that?
Yeah, Hossie came out with
the clientele for these cameras is just amazing. Bonkers.
Okay, more questions. This is from Andy Mack over there in Australia, former podcast guest. He says, awesome, love Rainer Ryan's work. Can you ask Jason about going from using speed lights to strobes? They light some big spaces, so I'd like to hear about how they tackle those and how they use tethering there. And what's the best wireless option now? Has Camranger been superseded? Is there a good Fuji option? I know they shoot for Canon and Fuji. And I would have read all that in an Australian accent, but mine is terrible. So,
g'day, mate.
Yeah, that's all. That's anybody can do that.
Yeah, everybody's seen fucking Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. All right. So, Jason, there's several questions in there, but basically, the big one is moving from speed lights to strobes. He said, ask him about moving from speed lights to strobes. He didn't ask me anything in particular, but I guess he wants to know what drew you to do that, or why you did that, or what, I don't know. Talk to us.
The move that made the most sense was to go to the Profoto B1s when those came out. Cause, didn't want to plug anything in. And I mean, those things have just been workhorses for us for a number of years. So, you know, not having to plug a monolight into a wall and run off the battery. And obviously the Profoto we love for ease of use and reliability and, the modifier system and being able to gel them and all the same crap that everyone always excuses the price tag of them for. But they've served us for a long time. And it's, I mean, really, like, going to strobes from speed lights, which, you know, Chase, I don't know how like involved in architecture stuff you are, or even Tony, but you know, like those little speed light flashes are, like, I feel like that's just a real estate thing, you know, Barry, right?
Yeah. I still use them, but I, you know, like, I also carry two monos.
I carry the A1, which is ridiculously overpriced speedlight, but it, you know,
break it out every once in a while
because it fires with the same trigger. That's why I don't have to have all these extra triggers.
And you need a little kiss light somewhere. It's nice.
I guess, like, at a certain point in your career, when you're making work, you get to a point where, like, you can't keep cranking your ISO to compensate for the underpowered nature of the light you're using, and it's so there's just a day of reckoning where,
yeah, but nowadays
you need more photons.
You can go with such a high ISO and get clean that you can actually get away with that more and more these days. But I get what you're saying. Here's my question to you, and this is what I've been trying to convince Barry of, is why Pro Photo? Why not Godox or newer or one of these cheaper options that also make a battery powered monolight?
Just real quick, when you live on the surface of the sun, like we do, and you guys have been here for the workshops and tried to control balancing an interior space and an exterior space, you know, after a certain point, you can't keep cranking the ISO and and retaining detail. So yeah,
makes sense.
You know, not all of us have a snowy winter heavenscape out the window with
what they all look like, and that's what all my clients want in the photos, that beautiful winterscape out the window of haze gray and crack addicts out on the corner, like, stabbing each other in the neck.
Jason, wait, talk to us about the B10s.
Yeah, you guys just picked up some new
shit. I'm pretty in love. You know, the B1s have been killer.
Pop a big boner?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Can we say that?
I think you're pretty much say whatever you want. I think you guys pretty much convinced me last week that we're pirate radio, so...
You can say boner?
Fuck the man.
Yeah, killing people and everything.
No, seriously, but before you get to the B10s, because I'm excited to hear about that. You guys had just ordered them or just gotten them. Answer the question about Pro Photo. Why Pro Photo and why not another brand? Were you using Pro Photo speed lights? I don't think you guys were you?
No, those didn't come out until far. I mean, those are much more recent than the B1s. But I mean, legitimately, like, when you I can't get the answer to that on Apple Watch. Shut it, Siri.
Siri doesn't know.
yeah, you can't answer that shit. No, I mean, I think you get to a certain point, or maybe it was because this was like, gosh, 4 or 5 years ago that the B1s came out. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of what Dan and I know and do, like, there weren't alternatives out when we started doing it. So there was no, like, there weren't the Godox and Flashpoint battery powered monolights out when we first had B1s. It was legitimately like speed lights or those.
Gotcha.
So you guys invested in that ecosystem early on.
Yeah, that's. Thank you.
Would you do that again if you didn't? If you had to do it over again now with all the options, would you still go Pro Photo?
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, like, you know, photographers are so catty. Like, the image is part of it. I will say it. Like, Pro Photo, and the brand and the image and being established is. That's part of it. Like,
Braun color's right up there too with Pro Photo.
Am I alone here?
They suck.
Yeah, but really? Yeah, compared to, like,
we used them, they fucking suck, dude. Mm. They were junk. Remember, Barry? Remember at the workshop? Oh my god, they were fucking shutting down because they would get too hot with the softbox on them and shit. They were junk.
Modeling light would shut off. Yeah. And the fucking, even their softboxes, those strip lights we were using, the stitching for, like, the Velcro for the front diffusion was coming off. Like, yeah. It was ghetto.
The coolest thing, like, about the Cirrus is you could program each one as a different color. Like, the ring around the fucking strobe, you could program as a different color. So you could know each color of the speed light. Like, the green one is channel one. And, you know, so you could adjust the power on them. But they were horrible, man. I wouldn't waste anybody's money on that crap.
Yeah, and they had the app and everything, too, for those. That was the only thing cool, but... It's weird how the power, like, they have I think that the Broncolor have a 400 and an 800 watt second, and then, of course, the B1s are right in the middle at 500, But it just seems that if they can put 800 watt seconds in that body, what's Pro Photo? I mean, obviously they don't want to cannibalize their own lineup, but man, if they had something like the D2 with a battery, that'd be freaking sweet.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would ever buy a D2 again.
That's seriously what they need. They need to just bump everything across the board next. You know, like the B1s need to be 1,000 watt seconds. The B10s need to be 500 and the A1s need to be 200 or something. Like, come on.
Yeah, that would be perfect, wouldn't it? Then what happens to the D series?
Well, no one plugs shit in anywhere anyway, so.
Yeah, they get rid of it. Just kill it. Yeah, come up with an adapter for the B series and just make it so that you can plug those in if you need to.
Yeah, just come up with a hybrid where you plug it in and it becomes, you know, yeah. It triggers 1,000
watts. And then that streamlines their lineup, which is a good thing.
So reduces it's manufacturing costs, everything else. Sounds like a plan. I think we've got it figured out, ProPhoto.
We got it. We got it.
Take it. Yep. Okay, Tony, so take it and run.
Here's another thing, Jason, and somebody was asking me about this the other day, and I couldn't remember the reason why, and you'll remember. Remember, I bought the ProPhoto Air Remote TTLC for Canon, and you were like, you don't want that piece of shit. You want the regular universe. And I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. And so I bought it anyway, and then like a week later, I was like, that's what he was talking about. So I sold it and ended up buying the universal one. That had something to do with the TTL trying to control my shots or something, right? I can't remember what the downside to that was.
It's the TTL pin will make it fire no matter, you know, if, or I don't know about on that EOS R, but for, you know, using a 5D series camera, mm-hmm. when you have the TTL transmitter on, whether you're in live view or not, the flash will fire. And part of my workflow, part of our workflow, is shooting some stuff ambient and some stuff with lighting, often on the same shot. So if I'm on live view, I want the camera to only be firing to gather the ambient exposures. And if I turn live view off on the camera or on the cam ranger, then the flash will fire and I can go that way without turning the trigger off or turning the flashes off or anything. Right. Like that's why that was my beef with it.
Okay.
So I went, I downgraded to the regular Air remote that only has the single firing pin so that the camera wouldn't read that it was there, basically.
So this is interesting because the thing with the ProPhoto, the TTL one, it sucked anyway because it didn't tell you what your strobe was actually set on. It just told you what the setting was above or below where you started, which is stupid.
Dumbest interface ever.
Oh, it's horrible. There's clearly two-way communication. So tell me, it's at 9.5 or it's at 8.7 or whatever. It didn't do that. It just said like plus 0.04 or whatever. You know, I mean, that was stupid. So that was stupid. The other thing is that I forgot that the strobes won't fire if you're in live view, right?
That's, they will, and that was my beef with
but,
it.
But with the other one, the one that we use now, just the regular ProPhoto Air Remote transceiver, the strobes will not fire if you're in live view, right?
Yeah, correct. unless you turn off silent shooting. Apparently you can get the strobes to fire in live view if you shut that off for some reason.
So that's what somebody was asking about the tutorial, Barry. Remember when a guy was like, hey, you said that you had to come out of live view to get the strobe to fire with your 1DX2. Is that a 1DX2 thing or is that a strobe thing? That's because I'm using the ProPhoto Air remote, the universal remote. And when you're in live view, it won't fire the strobe. So we had to come out of live view to make the strobes fire. So that answers two questions. I get so confused. Technology is so amazing, but I get fucking confused all the time because I change it so often I can never remember what I have.
You should just get 5D2
you're just old, man.
Mm-hmm. That too. Grandpa Frank's yummy meatballs.
It's almost time for pastor.
All right, so more questions. We have more. But
Barry, you can tell me to shut the hell up too because, I mean, Dan will tell you better than anyone. I'll just steamroll. I'll just come in and steamroll.
Jason, I would never do that to you.
So the best wireless option.
Maybe I like it.
Cam Ranger, you're still using Cam Ranger for the rest of Andy's question, right? So that's, you're waiting for the version 2. Is there a good Fuji option? Again, waiting for Cam Ranger 2, and you haven't really tried anything else.
Andy, DM me, buddy.
Yeah. All right. So
slide it in his DMs.
Jesus.
Yeah, we're not going to give any public info here. It's just all going to be behind the scene DMs.
That's right. Nobody gets to hear anything on the podcast. Nothing valuable. Let's see. Next question is, do they have any thoughts or processes they implement on staging compositions?
Say that again.
Do they have any thoughts or processes they implement on staging compositions?
I am Job.
Dear good sir.
I love lamb.
No, this dude's legit. I think the question is, he's just looking for tips. Like, what are you thinking about in compositions when you're composing your photographs as far as staging and things? What is, are there any rules of thumb, maybe? And I could be totally wrong, but that's where we're taking the question anyway.
Tangents.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, like...
Someone's been to the workshop.
I know, that shit, that's what I was going to say. That's something that it's hard to convey.
Well,
over...
you've been there too, so...
Other media, like, honestly, that's a thing that is great for covering in workshops, man.
All right,
yeah, so, tangents and intersections.
So I highly recommend that person, you know, sign up for your next one.
That is the big thing, though, right? That's what separates Rainer Ryan and Rosalind McKenzie and all of the, and Annie McPherson and Aaron Kraft and Aaron Lights and all of the guys that are crushing work from the guys that want to be crushing work is that extra time spent studying the image and going back through and moving things so there's no tangents, there's no intersections that look weird. I mean, that little stuff, the nuances, is what makes the image great, right? You guys agree?
Yeah, and like totally. Sliding furniture to fill in empty gaps in the frame and having leading lines and stuff, all that. It's like a game of inches, like we said at the workshop. We struggled with that one kitchen shot at our Airbnb because those pendants kept tangenting on the top of the cabinets, no matter if we were going up and down on the camera. But we struggled with it and fought with it for like 5 or 10 minutes, and most people would be like, ah, fuck it, good enough, and just shoot it, right? So
I don't think half of them even saw what we were fucking with. I mean, that's the big deal, is that they didn't even see it at one point. They're like, I don't even understand what these guys are doing now. But you and I saw it, and that's kind of the difference, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that speaks to when photos are really strong or really successful, that there's, you know, they seem effortless, or they just seem right, that all the elements are sort of in harmony and the photo is just right. And that doesn't happen by accident. You know, like everything we do, composing and pushing the shutter, I mean, everything is on purpose. So yeah.
Yeah, agreed. And that's a hard thing to come to. I mean, once in a while, you get lucky as a starting point, and you go, oh, shit, this looks pretty good out of the gate. I have very little to correct here. But there's always some fidgeting and moving things around, just trying to improve the image as much as we possibly can, not only to make the composition as tight as possible, but to make our jobs easier in post as well. Mm-hmm. Or someone else's job easier in post, in my case. So... okay, next question. Why do we need to use tether boost on almost every camera computer combo on USB 3?
Tether boost. What's tether boost? That little.
That's the extra $60 cable you have to buy from a famous company that sells orange cables just to make their original cables work.
Well, isn't that like to double the 15-foot length into 30 feet or something?
No, that's the repeater cable, but just the regular boost cable is the one, because supposedly it smooths out the signal, makes it more consistent, less likely to drop. First of all, USB 3 is janky as fuck. That's the biggest problem right there. But then you add shitty made cables to it on top of it, and now you have twice the problem. So... do you guys still use tether boost cables with the Fuji and all that stuff that's using USB 3?
No. I mean, to me, it seems like a manufacturer-created problem. Like, hey, you need this thing for this scenario we're going to tell you about.
Yeah.
No, I don't really know. I personally thought it had something to do with the USB ports on laptops putting out different amounts of power.
Yeah, they claim that. They say that it has like a...
So I thought it was like to even that out.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the point. But I haven't had the problem in the last many years. When I stopped using those cables was a big thing. And it was the same computer.
You had it with the Sony, though. I remember that your Sony connection was always janky. I remember it was something about the output. But it worked when you had that, right?
Yeah, you had to have that stupid thing to make it work. But that was, guess what cables I was using? I still firmly believe it's the cables, man. I'm going to take that shit to my grave.
Or maybe that was like on older generation cables. I don't know if that's just like an aspect that's sort of built in if the hardware is better now.
Maybe the protocols are better on the cable. Maybe the protocols on the MacBooks are better now. Because, I mean, we're all using MacBooks, right? And none of you guys are using PCs. So, I mean, so maybe the MacBook ports have gotten better. Maybe the cable protocols have gotten better. Maybe the camera ports have gotten better. I don't know where it falls, but I'm going to blame it on the cables. Because
$60 for that thing, man.
I know. It's ridiculous, man.
6 inches long. It's
completely overpriced. Okay, so let me move. I got more questions, Jason. You want to answer more?
I'll be here all night.
All right. So I really love what you guys do. The tutorial really helps me, and I really love your podcast, Talk Photo, Drink Beer. That's my kind. So my question is, do you have better options for tethering via MacBook and an iPad at the same time? I can use CamRanger, but I don't really like it and would love to do the same thing with a Canon Utility or Lightroom. I have no problem when it's just the MacBook, but when I want to add an iPad, I can't find anything other than the CamRanger. So this guy's up in Montreal. My solution would be Capture One Pro, with the
Capture Pilot.
That kind of solves that, right? Yeah. Anybody else got anything to add?
I think you covered it.
No, yeah. If you want to go into a MacBook and an iPad for some reason, then yeah, it seems like Capture One.
Yeah, the only thing with that is you have to have a Wi-Fi connection, so you can't do it in the middle of the field. You can ad hoc the MacBook, but it's limited range. You know what I mean? And if you're out, you know, shooting something that's 100 feet away, you might have issues. But if you're shooting, you know, 20 feet from the MacBook, it might not be a bad idea.
Speaking of Montreal, we should bring the workshop to Montreal because that city is fucking awesome.
I saw you post something. I saw Baghdad on the list.
Baghdad?
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like a hot spot.
Well, yeah, it's Barry, definitely a hot spot.
Barry, where are you from Montreal?
I'm about 8 hours west of Montreal by driving, so like an hour by air.
When I grew up in New Hampshire, I grew up like diehard Boston sports fan, and my dad and I would take buses up to did everyone just leave me?
No, we're listening. Oh, we're engrossed.
I just heard a boner dying sound. That was weird. It was serious. Anyway, I grew up going up to Montreal for Canadiens Bruins rivalry games, and those were just a blast because the fans all hated each other. I was your kid's age.
Oh shit! You weren't 18 to get into the sweet establishments.
No, but you know what we did get from Montreal was we had never encountered this before. But like, you could just go get a slice of pizza and spaghetti, like wherever you went.
That's a weird combo.
That was a thing. Like, and so when we like growing up in New Hampshire, we'd have like pizzagetti nights because that's what it was in Montreal.
That's weird.
That's amazing. You know what I heard recently?
That's like chicken and waffles.
You can get like a panzerotti or a calzone that is stuffed with spaghetti, like in meat sauce.
Oh, yeah, we were telling you about there's a place here that does that, and it's incredible.
I want to do that.
A spaghetti calzone.
Yeah, I need to. We forgot to do that.
Is it that pasty company?
We climbed a fucking mountain and we didn't get to eat the spaghetti calzone.
Oh man! What? Yeah, well, come on back.
You know where we did go was the shittiest waitress bar in downtown
El Jefe.
El Jefe, yeah, that place gets a shout out on the podcast because it sucked so bad.
The shittiest place ever.
She was so annoyed just that we walked into.
She was
her
pissed
bar,
waiting on us.
You know?
Yeah,
it was 2 o'clock
in the afternoon.
Total, in the afternoon.
Total. Frat fucking college type bar.
She was definitely hungover.
Yeah. It's garbage.
Yeah. She did walk of shame all the way to work and come back, I'm sure.
If you guys didn't have your glow stick necklaces on, then you probably stuck out.
I did. Well, you know what's funny is I was in the bathroom and I saw all of their like pictures in the bathroom for Instagram feed and all this stuff they had posted all over the walls. That's what it was. It was like people on the bar with glow sticks jumping around and doing all kinds of crazy shit. But this was in the middle of the afternoon, like normal people getting lunch or trying to have a beer. She was horrible.
Yeah, let me give you an idea of how bad this place was. It was so bad that we actually went to the airport to drink beer
for 3 hours.
Oh my God.
This was an outdoor, like, sit on the patio, enjoy some beers outside, have some chips and salsa. And we were like, we're fucking out of here. We're going to the airport.
And the margarita was like a lime juice. It didn't even, I don't think there was any tequila in it.
Yeah, it was horrible. So don't go there. If you're ever in Scottsdale, where was that? Was that
in
Scottsdale?
Tempe.
Was that in Tempe? Okay, but on a side note, where did we go for brunch, Jason?
That was good. That's good.
Those are some wild bloody.
Your Bloody Marys just came with a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I had a Bloody Mary beer mix, but you guys had a Bloody Mary with a side of beer, which is just
a chaser.
Yep.
That was good. Apparently that thing is,
I guess you had to wash down that ham and cheese.
Yeah, that cheese was a little bit, it had a heavy, like, burnt flavor.
That wasn't bad,
but
though.
I ate it anyways.
That was on top of the bloody, right?
Yeah, it was in the like on a skewer. Toothpick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was like a rib. There was like a rib and a pickle, maybe a piece of cauliflower.
That was amazing. Wow. Okay, that's all the questions for this week that I want to read. I'm done reading.
Oh.
I'm done.
Are you over reading?
Yeah, all I'm done. So let's move.
Was this the most on-topic podcast ever?
Yeah, yep. It was definitely. We've never done one like this that was so on-topic. And with you here, I expected it to be much funnier. So I'm kind of disappointed that it wasn't. So say something funny.
Yeah, we're going to delete this one.
Just delete the whole podcast.
Yeah, let's just do it over.
Yeah.
It's all right. You can just use my intro and just segue into whatever guest you want.
We'll just use sound bites from you and just put them in there. No, I think this was actually more an informative podcast. Yeah. And we had more genuine questions about the topic than any other podcast. Because I think everybody's just kind of waiting for Cam Ranger 2, it sounds like. And they're like, what else is there out there? Maybe there's Jason much, and you know? Barry and Tony and Chase know something that we don't tell us. Well, we don't know.
There's only, there's camera settings that allow you to do it, and there's like three options outside of that.
Yeah, I think range is the big deal. Yeah. You know, there's some other options, but there's nothing that Cam Ranger doesn't offer right now. So,
Oh, wait. Before we move on.
We've been telling him to put us on our beta tester list already. Cam Ranger, beta tester.
Yeah, they're listening.
Before we move on here, Tony. We had talked about this before, and we should start to introduce this as segment the of home screen. What is on your homepage.
We need to start with that from next time. From now on, Chase, remember that. What's on your home screen?
Just
remind us in the future that, like, you're supposed to be producing this thing. Jesus. Make a note or something.
What's on your homepage?
On your home screen of your phone.
Oh, like a picture?
No, man. What apps are on your home screen of your phone, dude?
Okay. Oh.
Like when you first unlock your phone and you land on your home screen, what apps are there?
I got like 4,000 apps and
not
folders.
You. We're not asking about you. Oh, I don't care about you. You're sitting here. Look, we're asking our guests.
Shut the fuck up, Chase. Just push buttons.
Just
push buttons and go home, motherfucker.
Yeah, Jason, what is on your home screen? That's a new segment we're doing now. We're going to start with that. So
I'll start right now?
Yeah.
What's on your home screen, Jason?
All right, with the standard phone clock, photos, camera settings, reminders, notes, weather, and then Dan and I like using the Google apps in lieu of the iCal and iMail, so Google Calendar, Gmail, and then Cam Ranger, Canon Camera Connect, Visco for editing, iBooks for entertaining my eyes.
Did we just switch to speakerphone?
Oh, shit, did it? Yeah. No, you're in my AirPods.
Oh. No, we're not.
They seem like they died just for a second there.
You're in my ear right now.
That sounds normal.
Yeah.
Continue. It's different for a minute.
Mile IQ, because we all need it.
What is
and
that?
Then
what?
Mile IQ, the mileage tracking app for us business owners. And then, of course, Photographer's Ephemeris.
Just lease it, dude. Then you just write off the whole lease payment.
Maybe on the next one. Maybe when I get my Forerunner back.
Yeah.
So just to confirm, you don't have the Domino's app on your homepage?
Barry's vexed. He doesn't understand.
Barry's like, isn't that stock on every phone?
Wait, Domino's isn't in my favorites?
Barry, just for fun.
$5 Wednesdays.
Break it down for us, Barry. What is on the screen?
Okay. Row one, settings, clock, calendar, photos. Row two, calculator, Domino's, speed test, Uber. Row three, HQ, Nespresso, McDonald's.
Oh, my God.
Messenger. Row four, weather, Audible, Honk, which is a parking app, Slopes for when I go shredding. Row five, YouTube, Amazon, Flip, Instagram. Row six, Spotify, Google Maps, DJI Go. And then I have a folder with all my travel apps.
Oh my God.
So I do have McDonald's and Domino's on my homepage.
Well, wait a minute. What happened?
Priorities.
No Pizza Hut app on the homepage. I'm surprised. I thought you were a Pizza Hut fan.
Pizza Hut is on page two, oh, row geez. Five.
It didn't make the first cut, though.
Well, it bounces back and forth. You know, sometimes I got to pull it out and then, you know, stick her back in.
That's what she said.
Yeah, don't be pulling it out and sticking her back in. All right. Well, fun enough. So so since you're running your flaps, what's on Barry's bookshelf this week?
Barry's bookshelf this week is a book called Unselling, The New Customer Experience. It's by Scott Stratton. And it's basically a book about everything but selling. So they talk about like old school shit, like the funnel and how to get away from that, and saying that like 60% of people have already made a purchasing decision before they ever contact you. So there's some really cool like case study type stuff in it. And the one is pretty funny. They talk about when a brand gets so good that it's almost untouchable. And they talk about Lululemon and Chip Kelly. I think his name's Chip Kelly, the guy that started it. He used to own West Beach, which was a snowboard outerwear brand, but he started Lululemon, and he's gone like on public record saying that he doesn't want fat people wearing the stuff. And he said that he purposely used to have a company called Homeless. And he thinks it's funny that Japanese people have a hard time saying the letter L, which is why he made Lululemon. He wanted to have a word with so many L's in it. So this dude's talking to his wife and he's like, how can you support this company? She's like, their shit is just so fucking good, I can't do it. So it's a really good book. Talks about social media, talks about the sort of like the new world that we live in, and it sort of abandons the old school funnel and prospects and all this shit. So it's a good one, called Unselling.
Awesome. We'll put it in the show notes for sure. All right. Well, I think we're at an hour and 30 minutes here. That's about as long as we probably want to run. Jason, where can the world find you on the interwebs?
We are online and on Instagram at Rainer Ryan, and you'll never guess how to spell it.
Break
it's
down.
R-O-E-H-N-E-R-R-Y-A-N. Some crazy German last name of mine, but yeah, Rainer Ryan on Instagram. Check us out. That's where we stay current, and I'm currently in the process of overhauling your website, but that is just a bummer.
Yeah. What about if people want to follow you and your child's expeditions, should they just follow your private account? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I mean, if people want to be creeps, then my personal account is just Rainer, R-O-E-H-N-E-R.
All right, awesome. Barry, where do they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, S-W-I-Z-Z-L-E-R. See, I kept it real for the Americans this week.
Yeah, no Zeds.
No Zeds.
Yeah, no
Zeds. I'm kind of disappointed.
But it's like a tradition.
Yeah.
Safe to say we all are.
You wanted it?
Yeah, we really wanted it. How about a do-over?
Cut that part out, man.
It makes me quiver. Come on.
Yeah.
S-W-I-Z-Z-L-E-R. It has a nicer word. Really, I mean, Z is way superior to Z.
Yes. It's nice. Yeah. All right. So, Chase.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Chase_Warnick.
Are you going to post some photos with your expeditions of Jed this week?
Maybe.
That'd be kind of cool. I'd like to see what you're up to. Yeah. I hear you're doing hang gliding. Base jumping.
I don't think I am, but I hear there's like maybe something to do with paragliding or something like
badass.
That. So we'll find out.
All right. So cool. You can find me at Tony Roseland on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, which we're getting ready to fire up soon. That's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in to episode 7. We will catch you guys on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.
Later.
Oh, no outro music.
The outro's loading. Here it goes.
There it goes.
Game of Thrones, throne, 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 thro